Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to a special edition of Tuesday Teaching Tips, number 112. We're taking a bit of a departure from our normal format in that this is my very first podcast interview. I got hold of my good friend Simon Dinning over in Belfast and asked him if he would be prepared to do an interview, and he said yes, and this is what you're going to hear today. Now, why have I asked Simon? Well, it's because he's taken significant initiative out of his own passion and conviction. He set up a blog, started doing some videos, and now most recently has a podcast called Prepared to Answer. And I can recommend you subscribing to that. I think you'll find it very encouraging and helpful. So I have conducted this interview, which is about 20-odd minutes long, and I think you'll find it fascinating. I think you'll find it interesting, but more than anything, I think you'll find it inspiring. His desire to pass on answers so that people can share their faith more effectively is very real. I love the passion. I love the conviction. I really enjoyed speaking to him, and I myself found myself energized afterwards. He references a few things. I will put those in the show notes, his website, his YouTube channel, and his podcast name. So that will go in the show notes. But for now, enjoy this interview with Simon Dinning. Okay, well, thanks, Simon, very much for coming on today. So tell me, can you tell us a bit about yourself? A bit about yourself, your family, your situation in life, that kind of thing.
Yeah, married man. Simon Dinning, living in Belfast. I'm a married man with four children. I have two stepchildren, 19 and 18-year-old. The 19-year-old's about to go off for an internship in the church for a month. I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter. I was trained as a physiotherapist, graduated about 10 years ago. I worked as a physio for several years, and then I went on, currently an auditor for the disability assessments, working on behalf of the Department of Work and Pensions for Capita. So it's a bit of a mouthful there. So I work currently a few days from home, which allows me a wee bit of flexibility to do the ministry stuff that I do as well. So I'm very blessed. I've been a Christian for 18 years this August, and it's been really what's led to everything else in my life. I really started university because I read the Bible every day, whereas I hadn't previously read anything in much of my primary and secondary school life. You know, so I definitely owe it all to God's hand in my life.
Yeah. Oh, that's quite something. You do sound like you've got your hands full.
I've very much got my hands full. Four kids, full-time job, trying to have a ministry. My wife's now started working part-time, and I like to keep myself in shape as well. And all my kids have clubs to go to regularly and so on. So it is definitely a huge, the biggest challenge is these factors, family factors. Yeah,
I can understand that. Well, you mentioned ministry just a moment ago. So could you give us an overview of what you are doing with your teaching ministry, this ministry that you've been developing?
Yeah. So it started, I've read the Bible, obviously, for the last 18 years and before that, and I really couldn't get enough of learning. So I think what happened was I recently started writing blogs, and then I realized that maybe I'll try and make videos. And then recently I started podcasts, but the idea of them really is dealing with objections to the Christian faith, dealing with objections to the Bible that people have, the doubts that people have, and trying to find out, is there answers for these things? Mm. And specifically what I like to do is actually be able to communicate them answers. So people go on and find, well, maybe there is an answer for this particular doubt that I have about the Bible or about the history of Jesus or something. And often what I like to do is, well, we can get the information, but how do I communicate that to people? So in a sense, what I'm trying to do is prepare people to share their faith, deal with any doubts that they have, but then also help people who aren't Christians themselves. Obviously, our goal is to try and win as many as possible. So I feel like I'm trying to equip Christians, help those who are not saved at this point. But I think it really is about, that's why I call it prepare to answer. So it's all about how would I answer someone when they say this or that. So sometimes you have lots of information in your head, but how do I articulately put that across to someone in such a way? How would I ask them? How would I deliver that answer so that it makes sense in the marketplace, that, you know, wherever we live, whatever people we come in contact with every day, you know? So
yes, you've got a palpable sense of passion about this. I can feel it coming through. And I suppose you're doing two things. You're equipping and you are providing what are you providing? You're providing some answers for people who are seeking and searching and curious, I suppose. You're looking to help the curious.
Yes, help the curious. And I suppose, to be honest, a lot of it stems from doubts that people have. You know, a lot of people live in Northern Ireland, very religious culture. A lot of people have been brought up doing what they've always done. And a lot of people start to question. I think there's a lot of massive dropout rate in churches from people when they get the university age, because they get encountered with people who have a bit of knowledge and learning. So people start to have doubts. And to be honest, as a Christian myself, I had doubts. I started to doubt things about, you know, about the Bible. I started to doubt things about Jesus being really God. I remember having these doubts that knocked around my head for long periods of time, maybe years. And maybe some Christians have these doubts that linger on for long periods of time. But what I decided to do was, well, rather than, you know, reacting to these emotionally, why don't I try and dig in and see if there's any answers? And I don't know, there is a specific example I have of one that particularly made me doubt. It was just this idea that God had put us in the world. We've all failed. We're all under the banner of sin, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. We need his help. So that was a doubt that I carried around. In other words, God's put us in a fallen situation which is beyond our control. But I remember reading Timothy, and I remember reading that Paul said that we've been given grace before the world began, that Jesus was in God's mind before the world began. And I remember that, again, used the word palpable, this palpable sense of relief that God had already made up for the flaws that would come before they ever happened. And I remember just that sense of just joy that there actually was an answer in the scriptures all the time that relieved that fear for me. That God had put us in a situation where we're already in failure was, in fact, no, not at all. He had already come up with a solution before there was a problem. So I think the doubts that I had drove me on to find answers, and then I realized there was lots of answers. So I want to do the same for others. I want to help Christians who have lots of doubts that hold them back from being able to step out and share their faith, and also just for their own peace of mind, ultimately. Their own, you know, the security and their salvation or whatever, you know. So I really do desire to get that message out there, I suppose.
Yes, I can understand that. Because when we have peace about our doubts, then the joy has the opportunity to flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible just how much you can, you know, you can worry. You can think that I've got this on wrong, or I've wasted my time all these years. Or I think just sometimes doubt just... people can procrastinate, you know, so easily. You just think, I think it's almost this belief that what do I do with a doubt? It's like, is there somewhere for me to go? Is there something I should do? Was that I began to realize, whoa, actually, I can actually go and investigate this. Why not investigate it rather than hanging on to my doubts? As you say, then the joy came after a bit of effort. But I've definitely of the opinion, a bit like when I was struggling with Maths, if I get someone who's very good at Maths many years ago to help me, then eventually I can get better. So I think it's just that, God, that principle of, you know, go and actually make a bit of effort and the answers may be there, you know.
The answers will come. Yes. Yeah. So you started with the blog, and now most recently you've added a podcast. So what made you decide to start a podcast?
Yeah, it's a good question. I personally learn by written material. I actually like reading. I very much enjoy reading and learning that way. Yeah. And I tend to remember things that are written down. But I realize that's not the generation I'm a part of today. A lot of people don't learn the way I learn. A lot of people seem to like videos. They don't maybe have the attention spans to read articles. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, of course. So I thought, well, I need to go with the times. So I decided to make videos. But then I realized that I think a brother in law, maybe had seen your own podcast, Malcolm, as well. And I thought, why not try these? They seem to be very popular. And when I tried one, I thought it was a brilliant thing. I thought, and it could be, I'm very much a learner at the moment, but I thought these are very effective. I don't really need a video. I'm not showing any props or anything. And I thought it just removes the concern for how the video is going to come across. And I find that it's probably my favorite mode of, you know, communicating, to be honest, so far. So I thought the podcasts are very effective, and I found I probably could put one out most days if I have the time. Most days it'd probably be okay, but I find I'm a bit more fiddly with videos, to be honest. So yeah, so far it's my favourite method. Although I have to be honest, I still feel that need to write things down, maybe even just for my own sake. So I'm still deliberating over whether I need to maybe write in some material at the same time as putting on the podcast. I think I've seen you've done that, Malcolm. So I am learned at the minute, but at the minute it's definitely my favorite mode of communicating at the minute.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I do like doing the videos, but I prefer the podcasts. Something about it. And the way I prepare my podcasts varies. Sometimes I write quite a lot of detail and end up more or less reading it. Other ones, it's I don't know what it is, but it's a different topic. And then some bullet points is all I need. A headline, a couple of sub points, and a couple of words that will prompt me to remember to say something or add in an illustration or a scripture. So much depends on the actual topic, I think.
Oh, it's so true. I find whenever I listen back to them, because I'm sure you do as well, you listen back to yourself just to see how it comes across. I'm always at my best when I'm free flowing. A bit like your questions now, like just the ability to just think on the spot. I don't like the idea of it. I like to be super prepared, hence prepare the answer. But I sound better when I'm a bit more free, you know, that I'm not too rigid. So like you say, just bullet points as opposed to all been written down. But I think,
It's a good balance because actually that's more like real life. You know, if we're trying to prepare people for conversations they're going to have with their friends, then it's going to be a conversation. It's not going to be some kind of structured lecture.
Absolutely. That's a great, exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, because when I'm sending people away to say, well, how do I answer this when somebody says to me in work that the Bible doesn't mention dinosaurs? How are they going to remember all this specific, laid out, structured, you know, lesson for them? They're not going to remember that, like you say. It's got to be conversational. It's got to be bullet points. And it's got to be able to weave in and out, you know. Because once you say what you said in a structured manner and somebody says something off the topic, then you're a bit lost. So, yes, exactly. I know what you mean.
I like the style that you do it in, and I mean, you've done how many now? Four, is it so far?
Four, I've done four. Funny, I've done two or three other ones that just didn't come up for me. So I'm definitely learning. I'm definitely having to learn my way around, to be honest. But
No,
I
that's
thoroughly
okay.
enjoy them as a mode of communicating. I really do.
Oh, I think that's it. I mean, the truth is, there's no such thing as failure with these things. Everything's a learning opportunity. And, but I like what you've already done. It sounds like you've picked, I mean, I don't know the particular program you're using. I haven't used it, but what's it called again?
It's called Anchor.
That's it, Anchor. So what made you pick that one? It sounds like quite a straightforward process.
Straightforward suits me when it comes to technology. It really does. It was busy me and Google just searching around, and I think it was free, and I think you could. I think yeah, it just a lot of you know items attached to it that you know you could use upload them quite easily. It sounded very non-complicated, which is exactly what I was looking for.
Well, you got limited time. It's not, you know, it's not, it's partly it's about how complicated it is, and partly it's about how much time it costs you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So let me ask you this, because I talk to people who, some people have podcasts and some who say, you know, one day at some point they'll get round to it, but haven't yet. You must have had to overcome some challenges, some barriers to get started, whether that was internal, the way you felt about it, the way you thought about it, or external, as in just the practical challenges. What do you feel like you have overcome to get to this point where you feel, yes, I can release a podcast and get it up there?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I think that there definitely are the benefits of being older. I can see myself having you just change with age, but I definitely you learn about yourself. You mentioned the internal obstacles that we have, and I think for me, being a bit of a perfectionist, I like to double check, triple check everything that I write and do. Hence, I work as an auditor at the moment. It's my line of work. So, I and like you've just said, I have to get out of my mind that idea that it's going to be absolutely perfect, that I'm going to have a
Never going to
thousand
happen.
hits, that it's
Yes.
going to go viral, that maybe no one will see it. I think that's the thing. It's like, I suppose the thing that helps me with that, and I remember maybe even chatting to yourself before, Malcolm, about doing coursework and stuff, is that as long as I see myself making progress, I think that was the biggest internal barrier for me was just the perfectionism. But that's offset by just seeing that I'm making progress, and then also having input from people like yourself and others who can actually say, look, here's a better way to do that. And then I get excited about maybe doing it better. So I think the other thing internally would be fear for me as well. You know, the fear of putting something out there that's maybe a wee bit controversial, or maybe people won't agree with it. I think I'm learning to just be a bit more easier myself. You know, I'm learning to be, I'm open. I think just keeping myself open to ideas, open to being wrong. It's not the end of the world if I put something down and it isn't right. I think it's almost like it sounds cliche to say it, but my overall goal is to learn myself. If I keep a learner's spirit, then I'm not definitively right in everything, and therefore people can correct me when I say something wrong. The external stuff then, like you maybe mentioned, I've mentioned it already. I was thinking about this a lot recently. I always have external barriers which prevent me all of the time, and I think it's almost just being single-minded about your main passions in life. I always think ultimately you'll always strive after your main passion, and I think at the moment for me, I do feel called by God to use what He's given me, the strengths that He's given me, the gifts that He's given me, to actually use them. Otherwise, you're the guy getting the talents and you bury them in the ground. I think I like to keep the big picture in my mind as well when I'm dealing with external challenges. Like, you wake up in the morning, your wife's not well, and the kids aren't in school, and the house is a mess. I'm sure you've been here
Oh,
maybe a
yes.
few years ago for you, Malcolm. Maybe your kids are stressed about exam work, and then you've got things going on in your own work, and you're like, there's no way I can do this blog today. But I think I've learned the benefits of consistency, and I think the big picture for me, this might sound a bit heavy here, but I know my ultimate goal is to try and save as many as possible, and trying to help us be equipped to share a faith. So I think when I think about 3 years ago, I spent some time in the hospital with my father-in-law, and when we studied the Bible with him right up to the very end, and I keep them thoughts in my mind, to be honest, in that, without being morbid about it, we're all going to end up in that position at some point. I want to get in there with people before it gets too late. So I suppose, it might sound pretty dramatic, but when life's busy, I realize that what really is important, it obviously is important that I deal with all them little things in life, but I do try to keep the big picture in my mind.
That's
But
so helpful. Yes, the big picture. We can lose that when we've got so many things. We're spinning so many plates, and that can happen. I had a phone call from my father earlier this morning. It's unusual for him to phone early, and so I picked it up, and he was ringing to say that his cousin had just died.
Oh,
And
sorry.
it's a sad thing for particularly for him. But everybody can connected to his cousin, and but it helped. I mean, it was sad, but it also, in a sense, helped me this morning because it reminded me I need to get my priorities straight today. What's most important? What does God really want of me, rather than what's easy?
No, you can easily take the path of least resistance. Yeah, absolutely. I think the
Yeah.
scripture that always comes to my mind, Malcolm, is Mary and Martha. I always think about that. I know there's a time in my life when I was succumbing to all of life's challenges and being overwhelmed and stressed, and I felt maybe frustrated, even frustrated with God, potentially even maybe that life was too busy and I had too many things to do. And but I remember reading about Mary and Martha and reading, look, Martha's distracted by all the preparations that have to be made. And Jesus didn't put her down for it, but just said, look, Mary's chosen what's better. She's chosen the most important thing. And I try to keep it in my mind when I feel that there's a multitude of things trying to distract me from what God really wants me to do in that specific moment. Often, very often, what He may want me to do is take my kids to the park, which I've just came in from doing there now. I was out at
Good for
the
you.
park with
Well
my
done.
little
Well done.
one, and she, so we're braving the winds today. But yeah, that's my, obviously my favorite things to do. But I think, yeah, so that helps
Well,
keeping that big picture.
that's terrific. Thanks, Simon. So tell me, where is this going, do you think? What's next for you with all this? What do you, maybe in a month or a few months from now, where might you hope you would be?
Yeah, it's a great question. I feel the changes I've had recently is I'm always a bit torn between, does God want me to just teach, or does He want me to evangelize? Now, obviously, I know He wants me to do both, but it's
Right.
which one do I fix my mind on more? And I think recently, being a bit, obviously being of a physio, where a lot of what we do is based on theory, and then we apply the practicals to the person. I think I do more of evangelism. I do more outreach. I want to be more in the marketplace. I want to be in more discussions with people. I think that feeds what I do. Everything I do will always be based on theory. I'm a bit of a theorist. I'll always be driven by what I read. But I think if I'm not practical about what I'm doing, it really makes me feel quite empty, to be honest. So I think just for me personally, it's a lot more evangelism and outreach. It's a lot more, have people online contacting me about different questions that they have. So I really want my sites and that to be a bit of a database that people can come to and say, look, well, what do I say when someone says this? I want Christians to feel more confident in sharing their faith, as I said already. I suppose just keep on doing more talks as well. I've done some talks on apologetics style talks on evidence for the resurrection, evidences for God. And like you said earlier, there's, people that are on the fence, people that are just looking to find is the evidence there. I'm hoping to appeal to them people more and more as well, So that'll be a bit of a gist of some of the things
Well, that's
that's going
great.
on.
That's something for me to pray about and for you as we pray for each other. And I wish you every success with that because the world needs clear apologetics and it needs people who have a passion for teaching, whether it's in Northern Ireland or wherever. So and the fact that you're capable through a podcast of having a global impact is an astonishing thing these days.
It's so true. I remember realizing that in the past it was ministry was very specific and you had to have the maybe the role and it was very limited in what you could do, but it just seems like, as you say, the internet has opened up a world of possibilities of reaching just an unlimited amount of people, really. And I think whilst there's so much negativity attached with the internet, and rightly so, there is so much that it can be used for as well. And it just like I get messages occasionally from people, just asking questions about it, having seen as the video we put on. It's absolutely astonishing that the reach that it has. I think I'm only partly aware at this point of just the reach that it can have. And I think I do need to pray for a specific impact, really, and for God's direction, so that it's not driven by me, but driven by God ultimately.
That's a very good point. I examined the statistics recently for the Thames Valley podcast because we podcast the sermons from Thames Valley. And we'd been going a year. So I thought for the first year anniversary, let's have a look. And I don't have the figures in front of me. But what astonished me was, well, to start with, there were far more downloads than I expected, which was nice. But also the global spread. And we had somebody downloading us in Uzbekistan. And so, yeah, I mean, all kinds of places I never would have expected. So we spread the seed. That's the illustration in my mind is sowing the seed. You spread liberally. You throw out that seed as much as you can, and then, as you say, it's really God that makes it grow.
No, absolutely. It's like it helps me to realize I need to be, I'm not very advanced technologically. I'm not always into that and like reading books and so on. But I've got to be more aware of what impact like we can have. That's very exciting
Isn't
to
it
think of,
just?
Mark. And it certainly motivates me to keep going and keep on putting it out there. Keep learning how to get it out there more as well. What you do to try and find the avenues to get it to spread more and more. I think that's a big thing in my mind at the minute. It's just who can access this? How can I get it out there more?
Yeah, make it more visible. I think that's always the challenge. There's it's a more and more cluttered space out there. So getting the message across and clearly and visible is, I think, our challenge. So
No,
tell
I
me,
can definitely
Simon,
relate to
we're going to
that.
wrap up in just a second here. But if people want to find out more, if they want to find your podcast, if they want to find you and the work you're doing, what should they do? Where should they go?
The specific good center place for everything, I suppose, the meeting place for all my ideas tends to be on my actual blog itself, which is www.preparetoanswer.wordpress.com. So that's www.preparetoanswer.wordpress.com, and that's where I put all my blogs up there and the YouTube videos if I have them. I have a YouTube channel just to put in my name, which is Simon Dinning, DINN for November, ING. And it puts the podcasts and all are up there on the blog itself as well. I think some people may have issues downloading the blogs if they haven't got access to the anchor itself, which I'm actually currently trying to find ways around that, or just to see its accessibility, really. But that's the best ways to get me at the minute. So.
That's great. And I'll put those details in the show notes. So if anybody doesn't catch it verbally listening to you, then they can get it in the show notes of this
Excellent.
podcast. I've been using Overcast for podcasts, and it's picked up your podcast there. So that's been
All
successful.
right.
And so,
Oh, I
just so
didn't
you
know
know, yeah, it's
that.
working. So that's good news anyway.
That's good news. I didn't know that. It does ask me the question, and I say yes, send it off, and it seems to do something, and that's great.
No, and I've enjoyed all the ones I've heard so far, and I'm looking forward to the rest. I must say, Simon, talking to you is very inspiring. I mean, I feel I've just, got a bit more energy for the rest of my day from talking to you about this, because this is the stuff I love. Being creative, sharing life-changing material to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations around the world. What a privilege it is to be able to do this.
No, thanks so much, Mark. I mean, I feel so helped by all your feedback I get, and the help and the fact of what you're doing as well. And I have to be honest, I whilst I say big picture, I don't always think of the big picture, and I don't really think about who's getting to see what you do or who's inspired by what you do. I know I do try not to think about that too much, so that I'm doing it for the right reasons. But no, I really appreciate all that. I appreciate everything you've done as well, and the feedback, and having me on here today. So
Well,
yeah,
my
absolutely.
pleasure, really. My pleasure, my privilege. And keep on with the podcasts. And I just had a thought as we were finishing here that I guess at some point, you might be writing a book.
Well, that's a great point. And actually, we were talking about your the elephant swimming pool earlier on, Malcolm. Actually, one of your books. I was telling my daughter about this interview, and she was intrigued by the book itself. Do you know what? It's funny you say this, and this God is so incredible, because I remember thinking that I wanted to write a commentary about 16 years ago, and the idea just seemed ludicrous that I would even consider that. But I suppose I really would. I really would. Love to do something like that. I feel like I'm always wanting to write. I just feel inspired by God. And you know, you read lots of books yourself, and you think, what a great idea that was. Or you maybe find a wee gap in the marketplace. You think there's no book out there just like that one. Maybe some of the bringing together some of the questions really that I've dealt with at the moment. You know, there's a lot of opposition, as we all know, to the Christian faith today. So I'd love to bring together, well, not only just answers, but again, how to answer. What's a good way of going about it? You know, whilst it may seem obvious, it isn't always. And people, you know, so maybe something like that. You've inspired me more yourself by that question, maybe in the
I've
future.
given you a bit more work to do. Okay. That's
Thanks for that, Malcolm.
the danger of
Very
talking to me. Simon, thank you so much for doing this.
good. Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Malcolm. Thanks so much for having me on here. Yes.
All right, well, take care and I'll see you soon.
All right, Malcolm.
All right,
Thanks.
bye
See
for
you later.
now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Simon as much as I did. I came away thoroughly energized. Let me know what you thought about what he said, about his motivation, about his aims, how he's overcome internal and external barriers and overcome them to get this going. Please pray for his ministry there in Northern Ireland. And if you have comments, leave them in the comment box where we can all see them so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we learn in community. And then do remember to pass the link to this recording on to at least one other person who might benefit. And if you could leave a review, that would be fantastic. Not so much for one's ego, but so that the visibility of the recording will increase. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.